ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम दिस इज कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मा स्टीलिंग द बॉयज एंड द कॉव्स एंड टुडे वी'ल डू टेक्स्ट नंबर 22 तन्मातरः वेणो रव त्वरा उत्थिताः उत्थाप्य दोर्भिः परिरभ्य निर्भरं स्नेहस्नुत स्तन्यपयः सुधा आसवं मत्वा पयं परं ब्रह्म सुतान् अपाययन् तन्मातरो वेणुरवत्वरोत्थिता उत्थाप्य दुर्भिर्परिरभ्य निर्भरम् स्नेहस्तुतस्तन्यपयसुधासवम् मत्वा परं ब्रह्मसुतानपाययन् त्वन्मातरो वेणुरवत्वरोत्थिता उत्थाप्य दुर्भिः परिरभ्य निर्भरम् स्नेहस्तुतस्तन्यपयसुधासवम् मत्वा परं ब्रह्मसुतानपाययन् तन्मातरो वेणुरवत्रोत्थिता उत्थाप्य दुर्भिर्परिरभ्य निर्भरम् स्नेहस्तुतस्तन्यपयसुधासवम् मत्वा परं ब्रह्मसुतानपाययन् please. Tanmataraha, the mothers of the respective cowherd boys. Vinurava, because of the sounds played on the flutes and bugles by the cowherd boys. Twara, immediately. Uttitaha, awakened from their respective household duties. Uttapya, immediately lifted their respective sons. Dorabhihi, with their two arms. Paridabhya, embracing. Nirbharam, without feeling any weight. Snehastuta, which was flowing because of intense love. Stanyapayaha, their breast milk. Sudha asavam, tasting, just like a nectarian beverage. Matva, accepting the milk, like that. Param, the supreme. Brahma, Krishna. Sutan, Apayayan, began to feed their respective sons. Translation. The mothers of the boys, upon hearing the sounds of the flutes and bugles being played by their sons, immediately rose from their household tasks, lifted their boys onto their laps, embraced them with both arms, and began to feed them with their breast milk, which flowed forth because of extreme love, specifically for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is everything, but at that time, expressing extreme love and affection, they took special pleasure in feeding Krishna, the Parabrahman. And Krishna drank the milk from his respective mothers as if it were a nectarian beverage. Please repeat. The mothers of the boys, upon hearing the sounds of the flutes and bugles being played by their sons, immediately rose from their household tasks, lifted their boys onto their laps, embraced them with both arms, and began to feed them with their breast milk, which flowed forth because of extreme love, specifically for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is everything. But at that time, expressing extreme love and affection, they took special pleasure in feeding Krishna, the Parabrahman, and Krishna drank the milk from his respective mothers as if it were a nectarian beverage. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although all the elderly gopis knew that Krishna was the son of Mother Yashoda, they still desired, if Krishna had become my son, I would also have taken care of him like Mother Yashoda. This was their inner ambition. Now, in order to please them, Krishna personally took the role of their sons and fulfilled their desire. They enhanced their special love for Krishna by embracing him and feeding him. And Krishna tasted their breast milk to be just like a nectarine beverage. While thus bewildering Brahma, he enjoyed the special transcendental pleasure created by Yoga Maya between all the other mothers and himself. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tanmataro Venuravatvarothida Uttapya Dorbhi Parirabhya Nirbharam Sneha Snuta Stanya Paya Sudhasavam Madva Param Brahma Sutana Payayan. The mothers of the boys, upon hearing the sounds of the flutes and bugles being played by their sons, immediately arose from their household tasks, lifted their boys onto their laps, embraced them with both arms, and began to feed them with their breast milk, which flowed forth because of extreme love specifically for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is everything, but at that time, expressing extreme love and affection, they took special pleasure in feeding Krishna, the Parabrahman, and Krishna drank the milk from his respective mothers as if it were a nectarine beverage. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is glorifying Srimati Radharani in his Radha Rasa Sutaniti. And in one of the verses there, he refers to Srimati Radharani as Vatsalya Sindhu, the ocean of parental affection. Now you can take that in a couple of ways, at least. One is that she is affectionate to all those who take shelter of her lotus feet. Another way is that even those devotees who want to worship the Lord in Vatsalya Rasa, they ultimately derive that only from her, because she is the ocean of that love. Every kind of love is coming from Srimati Radharani. We know from Brahma Samhita, she expands in thousands of different forms to serve the Lord in various flavors. Particularly, there are five of them, five mukhya rasas, or major sthayi bhavas, permanent moods. One can serve the Lord in servitude, or even some consider neutrality as one such rasa, or one can serve in servitude, or one can serve as a friend, sakya rasa, or vatsalya rasa. So that's being described here, Vatsalya Rasa. And it's been described here, Gopika Mohanam Aha Tanmatara Iti. Sridhar Swami comments on this verse that How Krishna bewildered the gopis is described beginning with this verse. At that time, they heard the sounds of the bugles and the flutes. Prabhupada adds the word bugles. It's not here in the Sanskrit text. That's his unique perspective. So, Venuravena Torottitaha, they immediately rose up. And Satyasutan Madva Param Brahmaiva Dorapir Parirabhya. They considered that, in fact, these were their sons, but in fact, they were not their sons. They were only one person, that is the Supreme Param Brahma, Krishna. He expanded as all these boys, perfect facsimiles. After all, if you think about it, as Prabhupada incorporates into his translation, actually everything is, Krishna is everything. Therefore, it's not difficult for Krishna to expand himself as their respective sons, because where did they get their personalities from? Where did they get their bodies from? Anything about them, where did it come from? Janmadhyasayata, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna. So this verse has been quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamritam by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he's quoting another verse referring to the Lord as Param Brahma. We'll get to that in a moment. But the point is that that Supreme Brahman also has desires. He also has feelings. He has activities, personality. He wants to reciprocate in various ways with different devotees. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on this verse, Krishna for a long time actually wanted to experience the ecstasy of being worshipped by these particular gopis as their own son. Krishna can desire anything that he wants. And for a long time he had this desire in his mind. And they also had the same desire in their mind. They wanted to have Krishna as their son. And now Krishna took advantage of this narrative regarding Brahma while bewildering Brahma. This is called Brahma Vimohan Lila, but the commentaries all point out that this is actually a description of how Krishna bewildered the gopis as well by becoming their sons. Anyway, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also described in previous verses, I think it was text number 18, he said that there are three reasons that Krishna has done this. One reason is that he wanted to bewilder Brahma, because Brahma had become a little bit proud, as demigods do. Even demigods, what to speak of us. So he had to remind Brahma of Brahma's own position, as he has to do on several occasions we've seen. So he decided to bewilder Brahma. And then in addition to that, he also wanted to show what is the strength of Maya over all living beings, including even Brahma. Maya balam darshitam. Even if your Lord Brahma, who created everything fantastic in this world, Vidhi, his name is Vidhi, he's the creator of everything. Anything fascinating, anything bewildering, Brahma knows how it works. He made it. Anything within our frame of reference, our experience, it's coming from him. So it's natural that he might become proud. Even though he prayed that he would not become proud, he actually did. And even though Krishna promised he would not be affected, he actually was. So, this is a warning. One thing is that beware of Maya. Srila Prabhupada made this criticism of his disciples, that they're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. In fact, he himself was standing in front of the deities, praying very ardently, and when a disciple asked him what he was praying, he said, "I was just praying that I won't fall down." Srila Prabhupada. So, he wanted to show us what is the power of Maya, and similarly, Krishna also wanted to show us what is the power of Maya over all living beings. That was his other purpose. But actually, we can say that, judging by our Siddhanta, we know that Krishna's main purpose could only have been to reciprocate with the love of these elderly gopis. We find that emphasis is given in our philosophy on the younger gopis, Madhuri Rasa. This particular section of the Bhagavatam is dealing with the elderly gopis. On behalf of both of these groups of gopis, Krishna is called Gopi Janavallabha. Those who are chanting the Gayatri Mantra, especially Gopal Mantra, we know that we're meditating on Krishna as Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, also known as Krishna, Govinda, and Gopi Janavallabha. So this is Gopi Janavallabha. His only program is actually to please the gopis. Vallabha itself means to please the gopis. So for a long time he had in his heart this desire, Baladev Vidyabhushan says. He's quoting here, Yeyatha mam iti tadvakyat, from this statement that Krishna himself makes in Bhagavad Gita. Anybody know the verse? Yeyatha mam prapadyante? What is it? And? Oh, you need half credit you get. Okay. So the idea is, Mama Varatmanu Varatante Manushya Partha Saravasha. He continues, Tad Tad Bhavanu Sarena Tad Tad Putra Bhavaya Harehi Sprihabhus Evam Yadartham Swasakhanam Vatsaram Ekam Yoga Maya Mohanam. Through the agency of Yoga Maya. That was discussed in previous verses, I think 2 days ago. Amala Bhakta Maharaj very nicely described Krishna's absolute position. But this thing is not being affected by the agency of Yoga, of Mahamaya. Mahamaya cannot act on these cowherd boys. Mahamaya can act upon Lord Brahma, if Krishna wants, but then it's called Yoga Maya. So the same heating and cooling system is there, any engineer knows. The same system can heat the building, the same system can cool the building, according to our approach. Therefore, he quotes this verse, Yeyatha mam prapadyante. What does it mean? As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pratha. That doesn't mean that all surrender to Krishna necessarily, but to the extent that we surrender to Krishna, he reciprocates correspondingly. And this is what he's doing here with these elderly gopis. Every one of them had a slightly different boy. Every boy had different form, different name, different characteristics, different mood, different desires, different idiosyncrasies, different service, different residence. All these things Krishna was able to duplicate perfectly because he's the origin of Brahma's creative ability. So he's doing like this. And then he says, Tat tat bhavanusarena tat tat putra bhavaya harehe sprihabhut. He had a desire that to each and every one of them, according to his own particular mood, he wanted to enjoy not only as that cowherd boy, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to enjoy as Srimati Radharani. So similarly, Krishna wanted to enjoy in this case as each and every cowherd boy. And he also wanted to reciprocate with the love of those mothers in that form. So every mother had a specific kind of bhav, and Krishna wanted to reciprocate with that. Therefore, he has bewildered his sakhas, he has bewildered his gopis by duplicating the sakhas within himself. So what's going on here? Srila Prabhupada has paraphrased the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his own purport. They had this idea, Hanta hanta yashodaya ivasmakam api krishna kim putro bhavet iti gopina manorathasya siddhim Bahiralakshitam Vadanne Vatasam Mohanamaha. He's describing now how the gopis, although they didn't express it externally, they all actually had this desire. Manoratha. Manoratha means desire. Just like we say, when you're on the mental platform, it's called manoratenasiti dhavato bahi. Manorat also means desire. So to fulfill this desire, to make it perfect, this desire of the gopis, Krishna has done this. He's come in this various different forms. And every gopi is thinking that this is my son, in fact, although it wasn't in fact her son, it was the Supreme Brahma. So they embraced him with both arms, and they fed him with their breast milk. Here the word is used, utapya. Several of the acharyas have pointed out here that sometimes the word is coming uduhya. In fact, 10 verses later, we have this word as well. It means the same thing. They lifted him up, but that's a minor detail. So, one thing was different here. Although all the boys were exactly the same, and the cows also were exactly the same, the activities were the same every single day. For the next 5 verses, beginning from text 20, it's describing all the activities that they normally perform, but there was one thing was different. What was different? The intensity of the love. That is the word here is used, nirbhara. Nirbhara means a few things, actually. At least one acharya commenting on this verse says it means atishayena, means excessively. Srila Prabhupada takes a slightly different approach in his own translation here in the word for word. What does he say? Nirbhara. Nirbhadam, without feeling any weight. Without feeling any weight. They lifted up the boys, and they felt as if these boys are not a burden. We know this. This is motherly love. There's no burden for the mother. In South India, there was one household couple I was staying with. They're priests of the Skanda temple, one of the biggest Skanda temples in South India. And this mother was making pakoras for her son before he goes to school. How many kids get pakoras every morning before they go to school? So I asked, why are you making pakoras for your son? And she said, it's not enough. In other words, she said she had so much affection for her son, just out of affection. So this is mother. Therefore, nirbhadam. Srila Prabhupada is quite right when he says nirbhadam. They didn't feel any weight. Nirbhadam means many things. In fact, this is another alternate reading we have. Some places its gloss is nirvritam, means completely transcendental. But nirbhadam, according to one of these commentaries, he says it means excessively. The love was more intense than before. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says this. And so does Sanatan Goswami. Even more than before. Nirbhadam snuteti purvataha snehadikyam sujagam. This is the idea. So they embraced him with their both arms. They held him on their lap, and their breasts were automatically flowing with milk. This is what happens with Yashoda every day. When they see the dust raised by the hooves of the cows in the afternoon. In India, this is called Godhulikal. In the afternoon, when the cows are coming back, it's called cow dust time. Godhulikal. And in fact, Yashoda would send one of the taller gopis up to the roof. There's what they call Chandrashala. It's a small kapola that you can view the moon from. But she would send them in the afternoon to see if she could find that this dust was approaching Vrindavan. She was so anxious for Krishna to come home that she was sending the gopis to see if there's any sign that he's even remotely approaching Vrindavan. And she would send the tall gopis. Why the tall gopis? Because they're bigger. They can see farther, perhaps. This is the logic of the spiritual world. So Godhulikal. And as soon as they had any inkling that there was some dust visible, then they would immediately rush downstairs. Here the word is used, twara, very quickly. They would rush downstairs and inform everyone, and then the whole place would be galvanized into frenetic activity preparing for the arrival of Parambrahma in the form of Gopal Krishna and his friends, because his friends are not less important, in his view at least. So, this is motherly love, nirbharam, therefore there's no weight. Sneha snuratvena sneha mayam tat prema svada maharasikaha krishna sudhamiva. Now what is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is describing? What is Krishna's interest here? He is maharasika. He is the supreme relisher of the mellows of pure love, particularly prema. Prema means pure love of Godhead. We know from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it takes some time, usually, to get to this stage. Many of us do not have even nishtha bhakti. Many of us are not, or even barely, in the stage of anarjanavritti. But if we can push through these early stages of spiritual advancement and get a real taste as a result of steady devotion to the spiritual master, then we can awaken some taste, ruchi. That ruchi is addicting. Addicting. Just like an intoxicating substance, heroin. You may be surprised to know. Any Punjabis here? No, maybe not. Three-quarters of the state of Punjab below 30 years of age is addicted to heroin nowadays. What does that say about the next generation and the state of Punjab? And where is the heroin coming from? There's all sorts of theories about this. You can use your own imagination. but don't put it past the Indians themselves, because it's been seen in India that even Hindus will sell cows that they know are going for slaughter. And they will do just about anything, it seems, sometimes, for money. Anyway, that's another matter. We don't want to dilate on that. But intoxicating substances are addicting. This is the point. They're addicting initially because the inebriation or the exhilaration, euphoria, they use this word. Euphoria means a wonderful feeling of positive energy. You see? So this is the initial attraction. So for Krishna, who is Maharasika of Prema, who knows what is beyond even asakti, what is bhava, and ultimately its maturation is called prema, pure love of Godhead, as seen in Srimati Radharani, Yashoda Mata, all the other gopis and gopas, and the servants, and certainly the cows, every leaf and twig in Vrindavan. There's a nice doha that they say in Vrindavan. Vrindavana ke vrikshakau marmana jate koi dala dala arpata patame radhe radhe hoi. Means that nobody knows the secret of the very confidential secret of Vrindavan's trees. But in fact, every leaf and every branch is Srimati Radharani's energy. She is manifest in all things in Vrindavan. So Krishna is mad after this rasa, Mahaprema rasa. He's mad after it because he's an addict, Maharasika. You can say, means he's completely attached to this. So this is Vishwanath Chakravarti's choice of words. And now he describes what was Krishna's interest in taking this breast milk to the gopis spontaneously out of love, flowing from their breasts. They've taken him as if by force. They put him in their laps. They're holding him tight so he can't get away, and they're making him drink. And he's not unwilling. He's also very greedy. We heard already from Baladev Vidyabhushan that Krishna was for a long time wanting to experience this ecstasy. What is it like when I come in the form of their sons? And what is it like when I taste the ecstasy that these women alone can give to me? Actually, every one of us has a unique rasa. Every one of us has what only we as individuals can offer to Krishna. That's why he's chasing us down. Anuvadhavat. It's described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though we are mad after Maya instead of Krishna, but he's still mad after us. and he's chased us down in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mostly in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books. Almost everybody joins because of Srila Prabhupada's books, or sometimes from Prasadam, or sometimes we hear Harinam Sankirtana. But the main agent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy for capturing all of us is Srila Prabhupada and his instructions, particularly his books, because the books are full of his instructions. So Krishna is mad after this ecstasy of the milk. Why does he want this milk so much? What is the nature of this paya? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others have described already. Sudham iva swadu. It is as relishable, as delectable, tasty as pure nectar. That's one thing. There are two things. Sudham iva swadu. It's as tasty as nectar, and asavam iva madakam. It is as intoxicating as liquor. So he's intoxicated. This is good intoxication. Actually, madakam in Sanskrit means a couple of things. It means exhilaration, for one thing. It also means stupefying, as we find in this material world. What we call intoxication in this world, it's always of the tamasic nature. We don't find things that exist in the intoxication like that which exists in the higher planets. What kind of intoxication exists in the higher planets? Somarasa. And what is the property of somarasa? It is exhilarating. It's not intoxicating, it's exhilarating. Your mind becomes sharper. Your senses become sharper, more refined. Your strength becomes increased. Everything auspicious is increased. This is why it's considered so desirable to go to Svargaloka. Of course, not for devotees, but generally for those who are interested in material enjoyment, that's the higher grade of material enjoyment. Here we have just this cheap imitation that often lands you up in jail. So, Krishna becomes maddened after this nectarian, intoxicating beverage, and he's drinking very eagerly. He's very greedy for that thing. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says the same thing that Baladeva Dabhushan has said. He, for a long time, he wanted to enjoy in this way. Now he's finally got his chance, and he does it in the same way that he does so many times. He is, as we say, killing two demons with one disc. He's at one and the same time, he's bewildering Brahma to put him in his place, and he's bewildering himself with the intoxicating nectar of the gopis' love in the form of their breast milk, and he's intoxicating the gopis. He's bewildering them because they think that they're taking care of their sannas only. They have no inkling that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who would imagine that the whole village has become the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that it stays that way for 1 year? Krishna was so eager to do this that he maintained this, what one acharya calls it, prapanchayat. Prapancha means a trickery. He maintained this trick for 1 year just so that he could relish that entire year this heightened ecstasy of himself in the form of all these coward boys and enjoying new kinds of love at a higher level, intoxicating level. So these are the divine pastimes of the Supreme Person. And yoga maya, they're affected through the agency of yoga maya. Now, Sanatan Goswami, in his commentary on this verse, he has pointed out a couple of verses. And so has Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. A couple of verses from the next chapter. We'll come to these verses. He says, Ohoati dhanya vrajagoramaniyaha stanyamratam kitamativa te muda yasam vibho vatsaram atmaja yatrittaye dhyapi nachalam adhvaraha. Lord Brahma therefore prays in the following chapter, O Almighty Lord, How greatly fortunate are the cows and ladies of Vrindavan, the nectar of whose breast milk you have happily drunk to your full satisfaction, taking the form of their calves and children. All the Vedic sacrifices performed from time immemorial up to the present day have not given you as much satisfaction. And then Sanatana Goswami quotes the following verse with regards to the word bhagya, fortunate. He is, Shukadev Goswami, speaking, rather quoting Lord Brahma, he has praised the good fortune of these gopis in the following verse. This is 10th canto, chapter 14, text 32. Oho bhagyam, oho bhagyam, nanda gopa vrajaukasam, yan mitram paramananda purnam brahma sanatanam. That means, how greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Vrajbhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. This is a verse, as I mentioned already. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this in his discussions on the philosophy of Vedanta Sutra to show that the supreme Brahman, generally when we hear the word Brahman, we think of impersonal Brahma Jyoti, but actually Param Brahman means only Krishna. This is a topic discussed by Jiva Goswami at length in his Bhagavat Sandarbha, and also by Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamritam. The Lord enjoys, based on the Taittiriya Upanishad dictum, Raso Vaisa, he himself is the Ananda Rupa of the Supreme. The Brahman in Ananda Murti is called Krishna. And Krishna comes to enjoy these pastimes like this. So these verses from Lord Brahma corroborate what's going on here, that Krishna himself is eager to drink the breast milk of these gopis because of their pure love of Godhead. And these gopis are also naturally eager to have Krishna drink their breast milk. Usually they can only serve Krishna indirectly, through their sons or through little distant pastimes. Sometimes Krishna comes and steals from their houses. They also relish that great opportunity. But now Krishna is staying in their houses. They're feeding him every day for 1 year. The ecstasy is exponentially increased. So this is Krishna's great mercy. And we can also take advantage. We can advance ourselves if we are determined and surrendered to this level of love of Godhead by the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada. If we read these narrations every day very carefully, study them, and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I don't know, there's probably more that we can say about this, but I'm going to stop here. If anybody has any questions or any comments, we can discuss. Shachitanoi Prabhu. Microphone is coming.
Thank you, Mukundadatta Prabhu. There is one common understanding that we all have by reading Prabhupada's books. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. But there is one verse in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam where he himself says that actually, if it's not for my devotees, I don't want any enjoyment. Or he cannot enjoy without his devotees. And then the next verse, some places, Nata tame priyatadma, atma yonir na shankara, nacha sankarsa no nasir, naivadma yate babam. That neither Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the goddess of fortune, even my own brother Balaram, and even I myself, I'm not as much dear as my devotees. So my question is, so, putting all these great personalities, which we revere and we know, so great, and his devotees become, his pure devotees become apparently like even higher than those devotees that he mentioned, Krishna, and even than himself. I just wonder if you would like to make a comment on that.
what exactly is your question? Is not
the question is that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, but he himself, in another verse, he says, if there's no pure devotees around me, I don't even want to enjoy. I don't derive that much pleasure. Mm. So that would be the question.
So how is Krishna the supreme enjoyer if he's apparently in need of his devotees in order to enjoy?
Right.
This is a very good question, and it's answered by Jiva Goswami in his Bhagavad Sandarbha. He goes at great length to demonstrate the difference between Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And when he's discussing, well, first of all, he discusses, as the Bhagavatam does, that there's really no difference between all three of them, except the revelation. Brahman does not reveal the personality of Godhead and his activities and all the love that he is manifesting with his devotees. Paramatma does to some degree, but it's limited. Only as Bhagavan does Krishna actually manifest his real internal nature. And his dealings with his devotees, they're actually just expansions of his own ecstatic pleasure potency, his own internal potency. Those devotees themselves are in large measure manifested from his Svadhini Shakti, or her expansions. Or some of them extend from Balaram as well, depending. So here we're talking about Vatsalya Rasa. We've mentioned already, there's Madhurya Rasa, there's Sakya Bhav, there's Dasya Bhav, there's Shanta Rasa. All these different rasas Krishna is prepared to reciprocate with us. He wants that. He wants it not only because it's his nature to enjoy, and this is the actual standard of enjoyment, but because it's in our interest to enjoy with him through serving him. So the point, I think, to answer your question is, in a nutshell, is that the devotees are not really separate from Krishna's energy. And how the energy can be one and different from the Supreme at the same time, Jiva Goswami elaborates at great length in his Bhagavad Sandarbha. This is the Achintya Shakti. It is not something that we can understand, but we can experience it. That's another very difficult thing to understand, the dichotomy or a paradox, maybe, that we are one with Krishna and we're different from Krishna at the same time. So Krishna enjoys because we're different, but he's not enjoying something other than himself because we're all one. You see? So it's only revealed, this is the important point, it's only revealed through bhakti, when we actually serve, when we submit, when we surrender, and we try to please the Lord, and especially when we try to please his representatives. Then everything becomes very clear to us. We get the insights that are needed. But if we're approaching only from a logical, in terms of logical analysis, or trying to understand it intellectually, we're not going to understand it, because he doesn't reveal on that platform. He only reveals for those who are willing to partake of the process, which is loving reciprocation. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering. Ananda Leelamaya Vigrahaya Hema Bhati Vyachavi Sundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as Mahaprema Rasa Prada. He is the disseminator of this Mahaprema Rasa, which was what we're discussing here. Whether it's with the younger gopis or the older gopis or with the cowherd boys or the servants, whatever. It's all ananda. Ananda Leelamaya, made out of the ecstasy of these wonderful pastimes of love. Unless we're interested in love, unless we're prepared to accommodate love, we don't get any insight into it. Yatanto yoganashchainam pasyantyatman yavastitam yatanto prakatatmanu nainam pasyantyajetasaha. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So, anything else? Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. My question is that this leader, Brahma stealing the cows and the cowherd boars, is clearly in Bom Leela.
It's clearly what?
It's clearly in the Bom Leela. It's like
Bom Leela.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is there an equivalent Leela in Goloka? manifesting this Vatsalya Ras that the Vajrasis experience.
The conception is there. The conception is there in Goloka. But because there's no birth and childhood there, these pastimes are unique to the Poma Lila. That's my understanding. Partly for this reason, in the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak, Kavi Karnapur writes that actually the Lord himself is more attached to his pastimes in the material world than he is to his pastimes in Goloka, because there's this nectarian exchange available here, at least with the Vatsalya Rasa. As I said, the feelings are there in Goloka, but it's never quite explicit the way it is here. Because here he's performing pastimes of birth, and he's performing pastimes of childhood and growing up and doing so many things. Is that okay? Anything else? Yes.
Very nice class. Thank you very much. So we have five relationships with Krishna, five rasas. And there, you said they are internal in our heart. So, is this imply actually then we were in Krishna, in otherwise this only going on Goloka Vrindavan? This include this other theory, then we are going there. How we can go there if we already have this relationship in Krishna internally? That means we are falling down. We actually fall down from Goloka Vrindavan. Is like that?
Are you asking if we came from the Brahmachoti or from...
No. Is it the point then we have five relationships with Krishna, one of them, and they are only exhibiting Goloka Vrindavan? So is this imply complete, deep statement, then actually we fall down from... Otherwise, how we can have five relationships with Krishna already and is only exhibiting Goloka Vrindavan, not in Brahmachoti?
No, these relationships, you can find them elsewhere, but they're not predominant. They're predominant only in Krishna Lila. Even in Vaikuntha, you can have not only Dasya Bhav, there is Svakya Rasa there, but it's very limited.
But not Madhurya.
Sorry?
Madhurya is not in Vaikuntha.
Svakya Bhav is Madhurya Lila. But it's very limited because the Lord generally has, just like Ramchandra, has only one wife, so you cannot become. There is, for what it's worth, and I'm not going to endorse or denigrate it, there is a Ram Rasik Sampradaya. They're worshipping Ram, Sita Ram. But it would seem that they're very highly influenced by Rupa Goswami, because the same conception of what we call Manjari Bhav or Gopi Sakhi Bhav, it's transposed into Ram Lila, wherein they imagine themselves as the servants of Sita and her friends. But they never directly interact with the Lord in that way. And, I don't know that our acharyas have ever commented on it, so I can't even say it's bona fide practice. We find in the writings of the Alwars, for example, as well, that there's all the different rasas are mentioned, but generally they're covered with rasabhas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not pleased with that, which means that Krishna is not pleased with that. Which means that it's very dubious, you see. But the principle that we can go back to Godhead by divine grace, that's always valid. No matter where we came from, no matter where we are. Mukum kuruti vachalam pungam langhayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinataranam. The spiritual master can make a deaf-mute person recite eloquent poetry. He can make a lame person jump over mountains. He can make a blind person see stars in the sky at night. This is the nature of mercy. Rupa Goswami says, Durghata Ghatane Vedatri. It makes impossible things quite possible. Divine grace is like that, especially in mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming through Srila Prabhupada. Anything can be done. It's a special opportunity, and it's not here in every Kali Yuga. We should take advantage of it. Is that okay? Does it answer your question? Are you sure? It doesn't seem like it.
It's okay.
It's okay. All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.